Just take a look at yourself in the mirror today when you go home. He's given you two ears and one mouth, which is a distinctive mark of God's design, maybe that we should listen twice as much as we speak. Otherwise, he would have given us two mouths and one ear. But God designed us in such a way that we would be listeners.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. How many times have you opened your mouth in haste and stuck your foot in it? Two or three times, you say? Oh, in the past hour, you say? Well, here is Pastor Wade with a message entitled, Me and My Big Mouth.
How many would admit that your mouth has gotten you in trouble several times? Raise your hand. Yep. Yeah, about all of us, because did you know that on the average, we open our mouths 700 times a day? And for some people, less. Some people, much more. But we won't go there. But how many of you would also say, I wish I could turn back the clock and erase some of the words that I have said? Yeah, well, today I want to talk to you about an eraser that actually can remedy that. We're going to talk about three steps that will help you in your conversation. Your conversation, your words are so important to God that he says in Matthew 12 that by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. But it's also a two-edged sword because your words can be very powerful or very destructive. Your words can build up or our words can tear down. Our words can actually start a miracle or stop a miracle. We have heard it said before in some pithy kind of statement, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can... It's not true, is it? Words hurt very much. It tears families apart. With complaining and arguing, it can divide churches. We're not that quick and real that good with our words, so we'll need some instruction. So today we're going to give three steps to that. And you'll also see that I have a rubber band on my right hand. I'll tell you why this week I'd like all of us to wear a rubber band on our right hand. In fact, we're going to pass them out at the end of the service. And when you leave, we're going to check to make sure it's on your hand. If it's not, you go straight to purgatory. Okay. But we're not all that witty with our words, as witty as this one produce manager. He was a young guy putting heads of lettuce together in the produce section. One lady comes up to him and says, son, I want half a head of lettuce. He said, we don't sell half a head of lettuce. We sell the whole head of lettuce. I want half a head of lettuce. He said, ma'am, we don't. She said, I told you I want half a head of lettuce. So he said, let me talk to my manager. So he walks over to his manager and says, manager, this crazy person wants half a head of lettuce. Half a head of lettuce. And he turns around and the lady's standing right behind him. And he said, oh, and this wonderful lady would like the other half. Witty. I think the manager was promoted to Congress. But this is a double-edged sword, our tongue, to destroy or to build up. You can cause a person's life to get brighter or darker, a family to get stronger or weaker, a marriage to become fulfilled or unfulfilled. A lot of it is in our words. James, who wrote the book of James, said there's one thing that's pretty much untamable. I mean, your words, your tongue is like a rudder to a ship. But even a grand and great forest, he says, can be set aflame by one spark. And so it is with our tongues. And you know what he says? He goes so far as to say, and that tongue can be set on fire by hell. Another portion says this, how come people speak on one side good and the other bad? From one source comes bitter water and sweet. That should not be so. And so we want to make sure that we are speaking what God wants us to speak, especially in these days. Let's take a look at this scripture here out of Proverbs 21, and let's read it together. An indispensable life lesson is the way that we control our words, because if you don't, your words will control you. Let's read this together. Go. The tongue has the power of and those who love it will eat its fruit. It begins with us, the words we speak. And not only to others, to ourselves. When you think of the word think, it's basically you talking in your head to yourself, counseling yourself, deliberating with yourself, discussing with yourself, arguing with yourself. That's called thinking. And you need to start there. I tell people, be your best friend, because you got to live with that person the rest of your life. Why live with an antagonist the rest of your life? Why live with an enemy? Why live with someone who hates you and always tries to break you down? Fire that person. Get rid of them. Because how often we'll say to ourselves things like this. Oop, there's some stuff coming through on soundboard. That might be my thoughts. You don't know. Shut up. But I've heard people say, I'll never have enough money, or I'm such a bad person. I just don't think I'll ever get better. I don't think I'll ever get over this. But when you say those words, even in your head, it sends a message to your soul. And you start to become that. That's why Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says this, as a man thinketh, so is he. You send a message to your soul and you begin to program your soul in that way. You say, but Wayne, that's where I am right now. Yes, but remember this, where you are is not the same as who you are. Where you are is temporary. Who you are must be eternal. Well, I don't feel that way. No, you don't go by what your feelings change every 20 minutes. You say what the Word of God says. This has never changed since the beginning of time. You are chosen. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You are a son or a daughter of God. You're an overcomer, more than an overcomer, for you are an outlaster. You say that, yeah, but I don't feel that way. Shut up. You just say this to yourself. Why? Because that's the truth. And it's time you start speaking truth to yourself. But what if I'm not there? That's why Joel says this. Let the weak say, I am. And let the poor say, I am. Because of what the Lord has done for me. You understand? We start to say what God's word is saying to us. And when that happens, you become more and more the word of God has designed you to be. Otherwise, we start saying things that our feelings and circumstances say to us, and we echo that, and we become like the circumstances. The biggest ship, or rather, let's put it this way, the smallest ship in the biggest ocean is never in danger unless some of that big ocean gets inside of that little ship. Don't let an outside storm become an inside storm. Once that happens, then we begin to sink. So what are some of the things we can do? James says it so well. It's going to come up on the board, and it's also in your notes. Let's read this three-step process together, and I'd like us to memorize this verse. It's that important. Would you read it? Go. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be and for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. What were those three? The first was quick to hear. Second, and the third. Yeah, the first is quick to hear. Let's camp on that for a little bit and then we'll go to the next two. First is this, be quick to hear, then slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Quick to hear. Just take a look at yourself in the mirror today when you go home. He's given you two ears and one mouth. which is a distinctive mark of God's design, maybe that we should listen twice as much as we speak. Yes. Otherwise, he would have given us two mouths and one ear. But God designed us in such a way that we would be listeners. Proverbs 15:28 says it this way. Would you read it with me nice and loudly? Go. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Oh, we're so quick to talk. We're quick to speak, slow to listen. And James says, no. Be quick to hear, slow to speak. Proverbs 18:13 says this, he who gives an answer before he hears is folly and shame to him. How many times we'll be in a conversation and we'll give an answer before we hear? You know what I found out? If I will listen and be patient, just 10% more, 10% more patient before I say something, just 10%, I actually minimize mistakes by 50%. I reduce misunderstandings by 50%, and I increase my friends by 100%. Just adding 10% more listening before I speak. Story goes like this. The wife's in the kitchen. Husband's in the living room watching TV. And the wife's name is Mabel. Husband is Harry. The wife says, Harry, the water heater sprung a leak again. Crickets. No answer. He's watching football. Harry, since you didn't fix it last time, I had to call the same plumber. He came right over. Harry, get me a beer, Mabel. Watching football. Harry, his wife says, Fluffy, our dog, stepped in the water and got electrocuted. The doctor said she'll be okay, but she'll never have straight hair again. Mabel, did you get me that beer? And make sure it's cold. You know I don't like warm beer. Harry, the plumber said he was glad for the leak because now he has money for vacation. Did you hear me? Get me a beer. Harry, the plumber asked me to go with him on vacation. And I said yes. Touchdown. No way. We need another quarterback here. Harry, I'm leaving you. Goodbye. Get me a beer. You know what the trouble is around here? Nobody listens anymore. That can sound familiar. I want us to take time this week to stop, look, and listen. To dream, story, an idea. Try it. You might make a friend. I want to talk a little bit to husbands about wives. So wives, you can close your ears for a second. But I found myself getting a little perturbed because my wife would say, did you notice the living room? I said, what? Still there, same living room. No. Did you see the flowers I put there? Whatever. Did you notice the dining room? I changed the table around. She'd say, did you notice the chairs? She'd say, you notice I changed the pictures around. Like, what does that do to me, for me? Honey, did you notice this? Or, honey, did you notice the cat? I got to get the cat some flea medicine. Do it. Just do it. You don't need to tell me everything you do. Honey, I'm going to go and then come back. Duh. And so I was starting to get perturbed, and I was praying one day, and I said, Lord, why does she do this? And I've never forgotten what he said, and this is just for husbands. It was like he said, it has nothing to do with the living room, or honey, I moved the chair 3 feet. It has nothing to do with a chair or living room or dining room or redecoration or flowers. It's that she's asking for a connection with you. She's bidding for, she's requesting just a connection to say, yeah, that's neat. Thank you. That looks so much better. That cheers the place up. that makes it look so festive. That's it. She's looking, she's searching for a connection because you've been like ships passing in the night. You're so busy, she's busy, you're married, but you never connect anymore. And these connections is what keeps you strong. And so I've made the wife in such a way that she reaches out for just a connection. And if you demean that or mitigate that or brush it off, you've said something. You've devalued that connection. You've devalued a second. You let that go for years. You have no connections except that you live at the same address. And then I began to understand the words we say can be said silently through actions. I thought, be quick to hear, because not all communication comes through words. Quick to hear what she's saying. I thought, got it. Quick to hear. And the other is slow to speak. There's some people that process on the outside and others process on the inside. I want to encourage you, slow to speak, to process on the inside. Think a little bit more. Otherwise, we'll speak too rashly. And we'll even kind of make it a joke. But be careful. Quick to hear. What was the second? Slow to speak. Let's read what Proverbs 12:18 says. Would you read it? Go. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings... There's a story of Sir Winston Churchill and another very civil, regal lady named Lady Astor. And they were rivals. She hated Winston Churchill with a passion. And yet they were in the same parliament. They were doing things together. But she just hated this guy. And it's mostly because of his mouth. And the story is told he would imbibe a lot, you know, and drink a lot. And so they were in this elevator going up. And she looked over at him, and he was just weaving and leaning up against the side of the elevator. And she said, Sir Churchill, she said, you are drunk. And he looked at her and said, Lady Astor, you are ugly. And tomorrow I shall be sober. And she's not done with him yet. She said, Sir Churchill, if you were my husband, I'd poison your tea. And he looked at her and said, Lady Astor, if I were your husband, I'd drink it. He who gives an answer before he hears makes big enemies. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I want to talk about anger. It says the anger of man will never achieve the righteousness of God. Each of us, because of our emotions, will have anger. Things don't go our way. We had a certain plan. We had a certain way that things should go. And when it is destroyed or abated or moved away or something happens, there's an emotional reaction. Now, at that moment, it is incredibly important to decide if you're going to be a thermometer or a thermostat. Let me tell you about these two. A lot of us are thermometers. A thermometer really doesn't control the temperature of the room. It just reflects it. If it's hot, it says it's hot. If it's cold, it's cold. It just echoes the circumstances, reacts to the circumstances. On the other hand, a thermostat is different. A thermostat just doesn't reflect the temperature of the room. It set the temperature of the room. Why are they so different? Because this is plugged in to a higher source. And when we come to Christ, he changes us from a thermometer to a thermostat. And we can set the temperature of our family, the culture, our future, our children. It's us. But see, a lot of us say, well, I'm just a thermometer. No, you're not. See, this is sort of like a reflection of the circumstances around us. And we get angry. We get happy. We get melancholy. We get sad. Get reactive, defensive. That's because we are, without realizing it, a thermometer. And God says, I have plugged you into a far greater source. And it's time for you to be who I created you to be. And I want you to be a thermostat because you're plugged into my spirit. And you can set the culture of your marriage. Set the culture of your family. Set the culture of your company. Set the culture of your organization. It's you if you choose to be this and stop being this. And that's a decision that every single one of us needs to make sooner or later. And my prayer is that we would make it sooner rather than later. Proverbs 16:32 says this in the New Living Testament. It says, it is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to have self-control than conquer a city. This week, try to be 10% at least more patient. Wait for an explanation. Understand that someone's maturity level may not be yours. What you say is A plus may not be where what they think is A plus. They have to grow to that level of excellence. So I've got to start at their starting point. And as a president of the college, as a pastor, how many times, whether it's with staff or students, I have to always remember I've got to start at their starting point, not at mine. Once I start at mine, I'm always discouraged. Once I start at theirs, I begin to understand. And didn't Jesus do the same thing? The Father did not look over the whitened banister of heaven and say, you people get your act together. No. He took off his regal robe and his crown and glory and became as a man and started at our starting point.
But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar.
You've been listening to part one of a message entitled Me and My Big Mouth by Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. We'll bring you the conclusion of this message on tomorrow's broadcast.
Sing it again.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's richest blessings and aloha.